أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح المغلق والخاتم المسوق الناصر للحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله قدر يوم القدر العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Today is Thursday, 11th of Zulqa'dah, 1441 after Hijra, equivalent to 2nd of July, 2020. Inshallah, we'll continue our lesson on Fiqh al-Sharia from where we stopped last week. Last week, we discussed on Waqtu Salah, that is Salah timing of Salah, the various timing for each Salah, the five daily prayers. We are meant to understand that we have basically two time for Salah. The prior time, which is the best time for you to observe the Salah, which is the Muqtar, and we have the Darur, that is the late hour or time of certainty. Then once you miss these two, then the Salah has become a debt for you and you have to pay back. And he said, for no condition a particular person should allow Salah to pass its prior time, except maybe if he is asleep or he is forgetful. So for that can be considered as a strong reason. Yes, one can be forgetful, and this is allude to the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which says that three things have been forgiven for my ummah: rufi'a an ummati an salatin, al khati'a wa nisyan wa mastakriu alayh. So what they did, forgetful, they will be forgiven. So today, inshallah, the particular chapter of Salah, time of Salah, has not been completed. We still have some things remaining, but it's like something not directly to the Salah, but Malan added it in the chapter. So we have to finish it before we go into a new chapter for today. Malan continue by saying, وَلَا تُسَلِّ النَّافِلَةِ na wala tusalli nafila ba'da salati subhi ila irtifa'i shamsi. One is not allowed to say a nafila, to perform a nafila after salatu subh ila irtifa'i shamsi, until the sun rising. So but after the salatu after salatu subhi, there is no nafila at that period until the sun rises, because we've said one hadith that was reported from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also many other hadiths can be refer considering this particular thing, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, except maybe for someone that is habitual to his lazim, he is habitual to performing a certain rak'ah at night, then maybe when sleep overcomes him and he was unable to say it, so maybe immediately after that period, within the period, he can say it. But also, even that, the ulama, those that knows and understand very well the meaning and the tradition of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say it is best for you to allow it till the sun rises on that period upward. Because another hadith is relevant to that prophet, saying that before the sun sets and before the sun rises, there is no salah on that period, because that is the same period the devil, or those that, yes, the devil used to bow, or those that worship a devil used to perform their worship. So don't, in order not to harmonize them or do a particular act together with them. So though you're having different this thing, so yeah, there is at least like that reported. So and he continued by saying wabadi salatil asri, and also after salatil asri ila salatil maghrib, until after salatil maghrib. So after salatil asri there is no nafila. So now it is nafila that is he is trying to tell us, the time that we are not allowed to perform nafila. After salatul subhi, after salatul asri, we are not allowed to say a nafila after that. Wa ba'da tulu'il fajri ila illa al-wird li na'imin anhu. Naam. Wa ba'da tulu'il fajri, and also, so also after the appearance of the dawn, the true dawn, after the dawn is sighted, so there is no nafila except for wird, for whom slept before it. Someone you are, as I said, you are known to have been praying 10 rak'ah maybe, or 100 rak'ah or something like that before the sun, do at night. You understand? Salatul Layl, you are habitual to it. So today sleep overcomes you. So immediately before they say Salatul Subih, you can say that particular prayer, or just choose, like I think in is it Izia and also Risala, something like that. I think he was saying for someone that just wake up and it is remaining the time for before Salatul Fajr is just remaining, one will be enough for you to perform one rak'ah. So just say your witr. If the period before Salatul Subih, they have already called Salah for Salatul Subih, so but the period before they start the prayer, there will be enough time for you to perform a single rak'ah only. So what is compulsory for you at that time, you can quickly say your witr. If it is able for you to perform two rak'ah or three, then you should say shafa'i and witr. You should say two rak'ah before then. If it is enough, if the period will be enough for you to say five rak'ah, then you should say shafa'i and witr, then rak'atan al-fajr. If the period will be for more than that, then you can bring more rak'at, wallahu a'lam. And also he continued by saying wa inda julusil imam al-jum'ati ala al-minbari, and also when the imam step on the minbar, that is the stage where he give his sermon, the imam on Friday after salatul jum'ah. So usually I don't know, there was usually this is often, you'll be often seeing people performing nafila at any time while the khutbah is going on. Although they have a hadith that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving a sermon on a Friday, then came in and a person, one man came in and sat down listening to the sermon, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him to say nafila before he sit down. And also Prophet say in one of the tradition that when you come into the masjid, you should say at least two rak'ah, that is tahiyyatul masjid, before you sit down. So some people usually give relevance to that, to say that's why you have to, but that is not equally, that is not what some people understand, most especially even from the time of Sahaba. Some people don't see, like even Imam Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, like it was reported in Muwatta Malik that فخروج الإمام يقطع الصلاة وكلامه يقطع الكلام. Appearance or presence of Imam يقطع الصلاة has terminated all Salah, all Nafila you are to say. Once the Imam appear, that has terminated it. وَكَلَامُهُ يَقْطَعُ الْكَلَامُ, and once he starts sermon, once he starts talking, then all talks should be terminated. So that was what he said. And also, he even added in that particular listen, he added with some explanation saying, "Waqal al Hafiz bin Abdul Bar." Hafiz bin Abdul Bar. When someone is called Hafiz, is someone who has memorized 100,000 tradition of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone that has memorized of had the what was it called tradition of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam at least 100,000. So this Hafiz bin Abdul Bar is a prominent scholar known by scholars. He said, "Hada yadullu ala anna al-amra bi ansati wa qad'i is-salati inda khutbati jum'ati laysa bi ra'yin wa innahu sunnatun." This particular hadith has shown us that termination of salah when the imam comes or when he starts sermon, and also avoidance of any talk when the imam arrives, laysa bi ra'yin is not just an opinion, is not people's opinion or scholars' opinion. No, wa innahu sunnatun, this is a sunnah. Ihtaja biha Ibn Shahabin. Ibn Shahabin is one of the scholars of Imam Malik, whom Malik, the most, one of the most even that Imam Malik reports hadith from, Ibn Shahabin. You'll be hearing him saying, an Ibn Shahabin, when you read, when you are reading Muwatta Malik. So he said, this is what Ibn Shahabin has stated. لِأَنَّهُ خَبَرَ عَنْ إِلْمٍ عَلِمَهُ, because he said this due to the knowledge he learnt. He said it's based on knowledge. لَا أَنْ رَأَيْ, no, for just saying, for saying sake, or for opinion, just to say his mind. No. He said that Balhua Sunnatun, this is a very strong sunnah. You are not allowed to say salah or any of this thing during when the imams come, when the imam is saying the sermon. But some scholar say even if the imams arrive but he has not started sermon, then you can say your nafila before you sit. But once the sermon has started, so you are not allowed to do anything, because that sermon is part of the prayer. Because Salatul Juma is Salatul Zuhur, but reduced to 2 raka'ah. So the other 2 raka'ah are embedded in the sermon. So you have to listen. That's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ومن يتكلم والإمام يخطب فليس له الجمعة, أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, whoever talks while the imam is giving sermon has no Jum'ah. He has no Jum'ah. So he will not be rewarded the reward of Jum'ah. And also he continued by saying, وعمل مستفيد به زمن عمر بن خطاب رضي الله عنه عنهم. And he said this particular saying that you are not allowed to give sermon. Sorry, you are not allowed to say salah while the imam has arrived and he has started, has stepped up on the minbar. It is the same thing it was performed during the time of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab wa gairihi and other sahabat. So it's just understanding. Some will make reference with those hadith I mentioned earlier and say that's why you have to. While those that understand it very well, they said no, you should not do it. So whatsoever, Allahu a'alam. But as we scholars always say, you should know whom you are following, and before you perform any act, you should know the ruling. Not just because you see people saying, praying immediately when they come, even the imam is giving the sermon, they will just say prayer as if they know. So don't claim you know. No, in Islam there is nothing like I know. No, just calm down, bring down your shoulder and ask question. Wa yas'alul ulama'a ويقتدي بالمتفق مقترفين الذين يدلون إلى طاعة الله. As we mentioned or we've read, we've learned earlier in the book. So he continued by saying, وَبَعَدَ الْجُمْعَةِ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. And also, after the Jumu'ah, you are not allowed to say, it is not permissible for one to say nafila after Salatul Jumu'ah. Immediately after Salatul Jumu'ah, then you start saying, what was it called, nafila? No. Hatta yakhruja min al-masjid, until you go out of the masjid, at least you should go out to another masjid or go back home and come back. That's why what some scholars say. And this is also the same with the teaching of Prophet and his action. It was reported that it was reported by Muslim that فَكَانَ لَا يُسَلِّي كَانَ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لَا يُسَلِّي بَعْدَ الْجُمَّةِ حَتَّى يَنْصَرِفَ فَيُسَلِّي رَكَعَتَيْنِ فِي بَيْتِهِ. رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم does not perform نافلة after Jum'ah حتى ينصرف, until he went out. فَيُسَلِّي رَكَعَتَيْنِ فِي بَيْتِهِ, then he will perform two rak'ah in his house, at home, not in the masjid. And also, it was reported also by Ibn Umar, that is Abdullah ibn Umar, anna an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yusalli ba'da al-jum'ati raka'atayn fi baytihi. He used to perform, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform two raka'ah after Jum'ah, but in at home, in his house, not in the masjid. So also, Malam says, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has already given it clear that فَإِذَا قُدِيَتِ السَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا. فَإِذَا قُدِيَتِ السَّلَاةُ, once you are done with the Salatul Jum'ah, فَانْتَشِرُوا, you should go out. You should go out. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. You should go on earth and source for the blessing of Allah. So فَانْتَشِرُوا, he said that you should go out after Salah. So this is the end of the chapter we've started last week on Salah. Still on Salah, although it's on timing, today we are going to continue from that, talking on Faslun fi Shuru'i Salah. This is a chapter that will tell us the condition for Salah. There are conditions that ought to be fulfilled for you to have correct Salah. So those conditions, we'll learn them today, inshallah, as we know most of them. You already know once something is say is conditioned, so without it, that thing will not be considered complete. So for you to have a complete salah, you should know this condition, and you should take them very serious. He said, وَشُرُوطُ السَّلَاةِ طَهَارَةُ حَدَثٍ وَطَهَارَةُ خَبَثٍ. The condition for Salah include but not limited to ritual cleanliness, that is the cleanliness from impurity, ritual impurity. You have to purify yourself from ritual impurities. As we've mentioned earlier, if you could remember, during purification, we say the purification is divided into two. We have taharatu hadasin wa taharatu khabasin. That is the ritual impurity and the impure element. You understand? So just to remind us again, ritual impurity. Those, they are impurity, or they are states whereby something comes out of your body. Anything that comes out from your body, like urine, like feces, like money, body, and the rest, or even gas that will come out. So those are ritual impurity. So you have to clean yourself, purify yourself before you perform salah. So it's a condition, compulsory. You have to fulfill it. That is, it was reported by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la wudu'a liman la taharata lah, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So someone that has not purify himself will not have wudu. His ablution is not complete, and once your ablution is not complete, so also your salah. And what taharatu khabasin, and cleanness from impure element. Impure element, it might be urine touching your body, it might be urine touching your clothes, it might be something else, or feces, or anything that you think is dead, or blood, something like that. So you have to clean yourself from impure element. Min badanihi, from your body, is that thing, is it on your body? You have to clean it. Wa thawbi, oil is from your clothes, you have to clean it. Wa makanin, or the place of prayer. The place of prayer has to be also clean and safe from impure element. Then he continued by saying, wasatrul awrati, and it is mandatory for one to cover his private parts. You have to cover your privacy. Wasatrul awrati. Then he continued by saying, wastiqbal qiblati, and you have to face the direction of qibla. You have to face the qibla. You don't face other places. That this also has its reference from the Quran, and also so also the other we mentioned, because Allah says wasiyabaka fatahir, and you should purify your clothes. So you have to purify your clothes while for facing the qibla. Allah say wajahaka shatr al masjid al haram. Fawalli wajahaka shatr al masjid al haram. When you want to pray, you should face the masjid al haram. That is the qibla. You understand? He continues by saying, all this include are the condition, as we said, watarkul af'ali kathiratin. Before that, watarkul kalam, and you have to stop talking. You have to stop talking. Someone will be surprised. Why is this brought here? There was hadith that someone says, before we usually used to talk while we pray, till a day comes that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam avoid us from talking while salam. But before, yes, we do talk while we pray. So it is not allowed for someone to talk while he is praying, except in necessity. When it is very necessary, you are praying, and like for instance during the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are praying and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam call you, so you have to answer at that time. Is necessity is that is considered very necessary. You have to answer that call, because Allah says ya ayyuhalladhina amanu stajibu lillahi wa lirasuli iza da'akum. So, and even if he sent you somewhere, for instance, when you come, he sent you that go and buy so and so from the market. So after you've discharged that particular service he asks you to render, so when you come back, you continue your prayer from where you stop, because that particular work is considered part of prayer, because it is the Prophet that asks you. This is a very wide knowledge from ulama. So also, since we are not in the time where everyone is opportune to see Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also while you are praying, if one of the parents calls you, some ulama say that you should answer them, because Allah say wa abdullah wa la tushriku bihi wa bil walidaini ihsana. It is not that, just once for Allah to bring the obedience of parents immediately after serving, so also you should answer their call in order not to, you understand, because it was reported during the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, that there was a pious person, all he know throughout his life is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a time he was praying, then his mother comes and call him. She calls him the first time, he did not answer. She called him thrice, he did not answer, and he was praying. So she got annoyed and say a bad prayer for him. She said, since I got married and I gave birth to you, I got married and I gave birth to you, but you did this. I was calling you, but you ignored me. I pray that Allah should show you the evil of a woman. Allah should show you the evil of a woman. So after she went some days, comes, then there was a prostitute, popularly known that she is a prostitute. Then she was, once a day she was seen with a child. After she have been noticed, they've noticed that she is pregnant. Then she did give birth. Then they started interrogating her. How comes do you, who is the father of this child? Then she lied that it is that saint. It was that saint that impregnated her. So people got annoyed. They say, this man that we are seeing as if he's pious. So that's how, what he usually do. That's why he even went out of the town to make house to stay. I've forgotten the name. So they destroy the house he's living. They destroy all his this thing. Then when he comes back, they say, what happened? Then they said, so you impregnated this woman this day, and you are claiming that you are a man of God this day. Then he got angry. Then he just touched the baby, a new born baby. He said, who is your father? With annoyance, he shouted, who is your father? Then he said, his father is that particular person, one of the herdsmen, one of the Riera, those people. Then they started begging him, please, we are very sorry, we are very sorry, we are very sorry for what we did. Then they say they are going to build a gold plated house for him, a house made of gold. He said, no, he don't want, they should just repay what they've destroyed. So this is a strong lesson. Allah tested him because of the prayer of his mom, but Allah saved him because he is a good person. So no matter how good you are, if you don't respect your parent, or especially your mother, so you might get into trouble. So that's why some scholars say that even if you are praying, once one of the parent call you, either your mom or your dad, you should at least answer, then you indicate that you are praying. But if it is nafila, that one, there is no even argument, you should just answer and go. When you come back, you continue, you say a new, you start afresh, because nafila has a very wide period. But for farilla, for obligatory prayer, you just make an indication and continue. So he said you have to stop talking. And also for instance, a child moving towards a ditch, a hole, or a well, and there are people aside, but their attention is not to that boy, and you are praying, and that boy can lose his life, he can go in. So you can quickly, as you are praying, you can call attention of those people and you can continue your prayer, because this is life. yeah, at times there are systems that this religion in general is after. Your deen, your life, your dignity, your wealth, your family, they assist like that. So, but the first is the religion, your deen, your iman. But at times they usually used to switch and present life first, because without life you cannot even perform the worship or ibadah. So like that, we are not into that. Let's not divert. And also, and things like that. He said, "Watarkul af'ali kathiratan," and you have to stop major actions that are not associated, directly associated to salah. You have to stop. What not? You are doing salah and you are touching this, or you are carrying this. Keep this. You just bring phone from your pocket, dial this, dial this, and take it back. Or someone will call you as you are ringing, as you are praying. Someone call you and you bring the phone, look at the person, read the name, then you decide to pick or to turn down this thing. So all those things are actions that are not associated to salah. You have to stop them in order not to vitiate your salah. But he said, "Kasiratan," doing them, engaging more in them will make your salah to vitiate. Well, awratul rajuli. So these are the six things Malam has mentioned here that are compulsory for a condition of salah. That's why I said they are not limited to this, but he mentioned six. He said first, taharatu hadasin, which is purification from ritual impurity. Wa taharatu khabasin, purification from impure elements. And he said, min sawbin, from the body, min badanin, from the body, wa sawbin, from the clothes, wa makan, and from the place of prayer. What's the qibla? Qiblati, facing the qibla. You have to face the direction of qibla. Wa tarukul kalami, and you have to stop talking. Wa satrul awrati, and you have to cover your privacy. Wa tarukul af'ali kathiratan, and you have to stop major action. So he continue by saying wa awratu rajli. Now he wants to expatiate more. He already told us that we have to cover our privacy. So where are we to cover? So he said, "Wa awratu rajuli," the privacy of a man, ma bayna surratihi ila rukbatayhi, it is between his navel to his knee. That is the privacy of a man. So a man from his navel to his knee have to be covered. And also, one thing we should understand, you have to maintain this privacy from the beginning of salah to the end. If, for instance, for instance, someone that wear a very short clothes, you understand, as he is bowing, his back will be showing, or you wear a very short trouser, as you are kneeling, your knee will be showing. So some ulama, some scholars consider you as consider your salah to be vitiated, especially when you have other clothes other than that. Especially when you are having some clothes other than that. So because it is said in the Quran, wakhuzu zinatakum inda kulli masjid, wakhuzu ya ayyuhan ya bani adama khuzu zinatakum inda يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إن الله لا يحب المسرفين. I think in Surah Al-A'raf. So because of this, Allah says that you should take your passionate clothes, take your best clothes to the masjid. So not when you are going for party or you are going for occasion, that's when you will be wearing good clothes. But when you are coming for salah, you see someone will just wear a shirt that he cannot even go outside with it, but he will come to masjid with it. That's not correct. There was one of the grandson of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a sharif, who used to, for each salah, for every salah, he usually wear new clothes. And once he comes, he finished that salah, he give that particular clothes out. So in a day, he wear 5 new clothes every day. That's how he, that's his tradition. When he was asked why he's doing so, he said, that was what is stated in the Quran. He said, وَخُزُوا زِينَتَكُمْ يَا أَيُّهَا يَا بَنِي آدَمَ خُزُوا زِينَتَكُمْ إِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ خُزُوا زِينَتَكُمْ إِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. You should take, you should wear your best clothes to the masjid. And also, one of the unbelievers once approached him and asked him, you, this, your religion, I still have some doubts about it. And I consider there are some things I'm seeing as if they are not true. Your prophets say that ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. That this dunya is sijnul mu'min, is the prison of a believer, wa jannatul kafir, but it is a paradise for unbelievers. But look at me, even to have something to eat, it's becoming difficult to me, and I am I am not a Muslim. But you, every day, look at what you are wearing. Look at the kind of, because he was on a horse, so he said yes, that there is nothing contradicting to, concerning the hadith. That's very true, and it was said by Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How the thing is that, no matter how wealthy I seem to be in the world, compared to what I'm going to have in the akhirah, I am in prison. And also, no matter how entertained an unbeliever is, no matter how wealthy, no matter how satisfied he is here in the world, when compared to what he is going to face in for punishment and wrath of Allah in the day of judgment, he will know that here is paradise for him. We ask Allah to protect us. So let's just add small and call it a day. So wal mar'atu kullaha awratin, but a woman, the whole of her is considered as a privacy. So a woman is private. She is naked as a whole. She have to cover all her body, not just is from navel to knee. No, he said, wal mar'atu kullaha awratin. A woman is considered private. All herself as a whole is considered as privacy. Ma adal wajaha, excluding her face, wal kaffaini, and the palms. So just her face and the kaffaini. So once a woman wants to perform salah, she has to cover all her body except her face and her palm. Not like some people, you see them wearing a very short skirt or something that will be where their shin will be showing. So no, she has to cover all her body except her palm and her face. So the palm of the leg and that of the hand. So I think this is where we will stop. As I said, we should try and understand the little we've said in this chapter, and inshallah tomorrow we will complete the chapter, and if time permits, we will look further into other things. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdi, ashhadu an la ilaha illa huwa, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Subhanarabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.